I'm reading today from the book of Luke. It's the 23rd chapter and the verse 33. Now here's my subject. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? What was the reason for his death? Why Christ died? In Luke 23:33, the scripture says, "And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." Now, everyone knows that Jesus of Nazareth was born of Mary in Bethlehem. Everybody knows that. You know that. Everybody listening to my voice is aware of the fact that a man called Jesus of Nazareth was born to Mary in Bethlehem. In fact, the Old Testament prophesied and promised his birth several times. God said in Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." And then in Isaiah 9, verse 6, the scripture said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We know that the angel appeared to Mary when she was engaged to be married to Joseph. And the angel said, "Blessed art thou among women. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And then the angel appeared to Joseph and said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife, because the child that is born of her shall be the Son of God, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And then the angel appeared to the shepherds and said to them, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." Now, we're all familiar with that story. You've heard it read many, 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 many times. And then everyone knows this. Everyone knows that Jesus of Nazareth was a great prophet, a great preacher. In fact, Nicodemus said to him, "No man could do the miracles you do except God be with him." We know that you're a man sent from God. Jesus of Nazareth was a great prophet. No man spake like this man. He spake with authority. He knew no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Even his worst enemies could find no fault with him. And then he went about doing good. He healed the sick and the lame. He even raised the dead. And he told them who he was. He said, "I and my Father are one. The works that I do are not my works, they're the works of him that sent me. And the words that I speak are not my words, but the words of him that sent me." But they didn't believe him. These people didn't believe him. They despised him. They hated him. They hid, as it were, their faces from him. He was rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And they nailed him to a cross. It says here, they took him to a place called Golgotha, place of the skull, or a place called Calvary. And there between two thieves, they crucified him. John said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world did not know him. And John said in verse 11 of the first chapter of John that he came unto his own. He came to his own temple, his own people, his own prophecies and sacrifices, and his own received him not. They crucified him. Well, here's my question. Why did Jesus Christ die on a cross? Why did he allow himself to be crucified? With the power he had, he said to one of his disciples who sought to defend him with a sword, he said, "Put up your sword." He said, "I could call on my Father and he'd send legions of angels to my aid." But he allowed himself to be crucified. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that he hung on that cross and he died. He was taken down from the cross and he was buried. And my question today is, why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Did he die to show us something or to teach us something or to set an example, or he didn't die from human weakness, I know that, because he had all power. He said, I have all power in heaven and earth. What held him to the cross? Why did he suffer and die? Why did he subject himself to such humiliation and such persecution and mockery and suffer and bleed and die on a cruel Roman tree? Why? Well, I'm going to let the Scripture speak for us. I have five Scriptures that answer this question plainly, clearly, easily understood. Five Scriptures. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Now, here's the first one. If you'd like to, turn in your Bibles or jot down the Scriptures and read them later. But Paul wrote in Romans 14:9, now watch this, and here's my question. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Why did he subject himself to this horrible, horrible death, even the death of the cross? Romans 14:9 says, for to this end, for this reason, to accomplish this objective, to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. Why did he die on the cross? Paul said, for this reason, that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. Now, Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth because he died on the cross. He is Lord by decree, divine decree. In John 3:35, it says, the Father loveth the Son, and the Father hath given all things into the hands of the Son. That's by decree, by God's purpose and decree and design. He hath given all things in the hands of the Son. In Matthew 28:18, our Lord said that. He said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. In John 17, he said, thou hast given me authority, power over all flesh. Acts 2:36, Peter said to the people at Pentecost, God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified Lord and Christ. In other words, by God Almighty's decree, by God Almighty's eternal design, divine design and purpose, he made Christ Lord. But here the Apostle Paul says that he is Lord by death. He earned the crown rights. He bought the crown rights. He bought the universe over which he reigns. Now listen to this in Philippians 2:6. Paul in verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet made himself of no reputation, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because of this submission, because of this awful price, because of this subjection to the will of the Father, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. In other words, he's Lord by decree, he's Lord by eternal design, and he's Lord by death. He bought the kingdom. He bought the crown rights. The question is not, my friend, will you make Jesus your Lord? God has already beat you to it. Jesus Christ is Lord. He bought that right. He died that he might be Lord. You see, back in eternity past, the Father made him the surety of an everlasting covenant. And in that covenant was included this obligation, this responsibility. Christ had to redeem his people with his blood. And when he died on that cross, he bought the kingdom. He bought the crown rights. He bought and earned the right to be every man's Lord. And God has made him Lord. The issue is not, will you recognize his lordship? It's, when will you recognize his lordship? Because he is Lord. And Peter summed it up on Pentecost. He said, God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. All right, the second reason now is found in Romans 3. Now listen carefully to this. In Romans 3, 24, 25, and 26, why did Christ die? This is what we're asking. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life on this earth, fulfilling the righteousness of God. He had all authority and power. He's the God-man. God didn't become man, and man didn't become God. Almighty God was clothed in the likeness of human flesh, and the Lord Jesus Christ inhabited a body which the Father prepared for him, but he was still God. He was man, but he was still God. And yet he subjected himself to a humiliating, awful, ignominious, terrible death. And I ask, why? Well, Paul said first that he might be Lord, to fulfill that covenant, to fulfill his suretyship, to fulfill his responsibility, to buy the crown rights of the kingdom, which must be purchased by blood, and only the king could do it. All right, here's the second reason. Romans 3, 24, 25, and 26. Being freely justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a mercy seat. That's an atoning atonement by blood, a mercy seat. A propitiation through faith in his blood to declare God's righteousness. Now watch this. In order that God may be just and justifier of all that believe in Jesus. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, set him forth to be a propitiation, set him forth to be a substitute, set him forth to be a slain lamb, set him forth to be an atonement on the mercy seat. Set him forth to be crucified in order that. You see, that's what we're asking. Why? Well, in order that God might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ died, secondly, to enable a holy, righteous, and just God to be holy, righteous, and just, and yet forgive sinners, and yet show his mercy and his love. Now, the Lord declared in Isaiah 45, 21, he said, you ever read this before, Isaiah 45, 21? I am a just God and a Savior. Now, verse 22, all of you are familiar with it. It says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. Well, verse 21 identifies this one to whom you're to look. This one who redeems us, I am a just God and a Savior. Can he be both? Well, I'll show you how. Through Christ. You see, God is holy and righteous. His law is set. His law is sure. His law is unchanging. God's law never. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. Once that holy, immaculate, spotless law was given, it's unchanging, unbending. Somebody said, You may break a commandment, but you'll never bend one. You'll never bend one. God will never bend one. And this is, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. This is the conflict I have with people who are preaching or teaching or believing or practicing salvation by works. Your works aren't good enough. Your works aren't good enough. Your works have to be perfect if you're going to be saved by works. Your obedience has to be as good as God if you're going to be saved by obedience. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. God's not going to change. He's not going to bend his law or conform his law or change it. It's set. It's sure. It's unchanging. It's rigid. It offers no mercy. And God is just, holy and just. And not only will punish sin, God must punish sin. It's not a question of will he punish sin. He must punish sin if he's going to stay God. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? God will by no means clear the guilty. You say, where do you find that? Exodus chapter 34. God will by no means clear the guilty. Well, wait a minute now, preacher. God is just. God is holy. God is righteous. But preacher, God is love. You're absolutely right. We thank him for that. He's mercy and he's love. But he cannot manifest his love at the expense of his holiness. He cannot manifest and act in mercy toward you and violate his law any more than the judge down at the county courthouse or down at the Supreme Court can compromise the law and let you go free if you're guilty. If you're guilty, you got to pay. And if you're guilty of breaking the law of God, you got to pay. If you're guilty of sinning against God, you got to pay. The soul that sinneth shall surely, surely, surely die. Be sure your sins will find you out, God said. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So you see, God can't manifest love and mercy at the expense of justice and righteousness. That's why Christ came. And that's why he died. He died that we might not die. He died that we wouldn't have to die. Our Lord came down here without sin. Perfect, without sin. And our sins were laid on him. He died as a substitute. And in Christ bearing our sins in his body on the tree and dying in our place, you see, God's justice met Christ on the cross. And God's justice afflicted him. And God's justice slew him. And God's justice exacted from him all that was required of me. And therefore, God's mercy could be demonstrated. And God's grace and love could be shown because he had a substitute. You see, Psalm 85:10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Mercy and truth? Mercy for sinners and yet truth for sinners? It says, righteousness and peace have kissed one another. You mean the righteous justice of God can kiss peace for guilty sinners in Christ if he'll bear their sins and pay their debt and die in their place? See, learn two words now, substitute and satisfaction. Christ died. Well, here's the third reason why he died. He died, number one, to buy the crown rights in order that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. He died that God Almighty might be just and justified. Now, thirdly, Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Why is he hanging there? We see him smitten of God. We see him stricken. We see him carrying griefs and sorrows. But they're ours. They're not his. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. By his stripes we're healed. That's what I'm saying. Christ died, thirdly, as our substitute. My friends, now listen carefully to me. Please listen carefully. So little gospel being preached today. There's a lot of cheerleading and money raising and building of great empires, but there's very little gospel. Good news for sinners. Good news. Glad tidings for the guilty. Mercy for the miserable. But from Genesis 3:15, which says, the seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's heel. The serpent's head. The seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. That's talking about Christ, the seed of woman, the virgin-born son, destroying the serpent, Satan's head, his government. From that point, at the very beginning, Genesis 3:15, right after Adam and Eve sinned, all the way through this Bible, to Revelation 5, when it talks about the lamb slain. The lamb slain. Worthy is the lamb that was slain. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, in his death and the shedding of his blood, is set forth as a sin offering. As a sin offering. Christ died as a sin offering. As a sacrifice to God. You see, every lamb of the Old Testament, and there were thousands of them, from Abel's lamb all the way through the Passover and the atonement, and the lambs that were slain throughout hundreds and thousands of years, every one of those lambs is a picture of Christ, our lamb, our substitute, every one of them. God said when they took the lamb and slew it in Egypt, put the blood on the doorpost and lintel, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And Paul said, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ is the Passover. When he was born in Bethlehem, God said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins with a sin offering." In Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. In 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners with a sin offering. 1 Peter 1:19, we are redeemed not with silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish, as a lamb slain. So Christ died as a sin offering, as a substitute. By one sacrifice he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Jesus Christ, our Lord, came into this world and died as a sin offering. You go back through the Old Testament and you see the high priest putting his hands on the head of the bullock or the ram and confessing the sins of the people. And then they take that ram and slay it, roast its body with fire, catch the blood in a basin, take it into the Holy of Holies, put it on the mercy seat before the Shekinah glory of God. All of that waiting the coming Lamb of God. And when John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, saw him at Jordan that day, he said to the people, "There he is, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," as a sin offering, as a sacrifice. And I'm telling you, I know we're getting awful nice today and awful dignified. You take the blood out of the pulpit and you take the saving power and the gospel away, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Let's don't get so modern and so liberal and so dignified that we don't sing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." There's power in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, God Almighty has set that forth in his word. You can't change it. It's the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And then fourthly, 2 Corinthians 5:19. Now listen to this. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Why did Christ die? To reconcile us to God. To make peace. Peace with God. Having made peace with God through the blood of his cross, to reconcile all things to himself. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what Paul's saying there. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, made peace between us and an angry God. I know that's not popular today. I know it's not. I know everybody wants to hear about the love of God. Nobody wants to hear about the wrath of God or the judgment of God. My friends, we're neglecting the scriptures if we don't tell the truth about God. Listen to Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness in men. God's what? God's wrath. Psalm 7:11. God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. John 3:36, he that believeth not the Son shall not see light, but the wrath of God. The wrath of God abideth on him. Now, the old timers knew something about judgment, something about God's wrath. And we're going to have to get back to the Word if we're going to preach the God of the Bible. You see, this is the reason that men are compromising the death of Christ and the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ. Because if God is all love and all mercy and no judgment, no righteousness, no wrath, we don't need a substitute. We don't need a sin offering. We don't need a blood atonement. Christ died to remove the wrath of God from believers. Paul said in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace. I thought we had peace all along. Oh, no, no. Christ is our peace offering. He's our substitute, sacrifice. By taking the wrath of God upon himself, he removed the wrath of God from us. That's why he died. And in closing, in Revelation 5, 9, and 10, now this is point number 5, why Christ died. Thou art worthy to take the book. This is the song of the redeemed in glory. And to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain. Thou wast slain. And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's why you're worthy to open the book. That's why you have the right to open the book. Because you were slain and redeemed us by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And you have made us by your blood because you were slain. You have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You're not a king and a priest before God because something you've done or something you've given or something you've earned. Christ was slain and shed his blood. And out of every little kindred and tongue and tribe and nation and kingdom and people all over this globe through all generations, our Lord bought a people. And he redeemed that which was lost. He restored all that we lost in Adam. He enriched us with an inheritance undefiled that fadeth not away. He translated us into the kingdom of God. He has made us kings who will reign with him and priests to offer unto God spiritual sacrifices. And he died that we might live.